Welcome to the People of Relic Nikkei podcast, where you're going to hear the stories of the people that work at these two amazing advertising agencies. Relic focuses on tourism, and EKR works with a variety of businesses to help people get the right message to the right people at the right time. And we have amazing people in our organization, and I am going to interview them to hear the unique stories and backgrounds that they have to help you better get to know the people of Relic and EKR. Pratt Red, thanks for joining me on the People of Relic and EKR podcast. How you doing?
Really good. Happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you. You know, you're one of our newer employees, although I've known you for many years. Tell us what you do here.
I'm an account manager. I handle Davis, Uinta, and San Juan counties, Dana Point, Afton, Wyoming, and a couple other various clients. So yeah, pretty awesome. good workload and fun learning about the different clients we have, and Ruby's in as well. That was one of the other various.
Yeah, you forget Lance, you're going to be in trouble. well, Pratt, let's start at the beginning, the very, very beginning. Tell us a little bit about your upbringing and childhood and what it was like to grow up in such an urban metropolitan area.
By urban, you mean one of the most rural places in the world, in America anyways. Yeah, I am the youngest of six kids. I grew up in Blanding, Utah, which is where I currently live. My dad, my whole life kind of has revolved around work. My dad owns a plumbing and HVAC company. So growing up, you started out doing sprinkler systems, and then you ended up plumbing houses and eventually made your way onto commercial jobs and getting big boy assignments. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. Grew up working a lot and different things like that. So
yeah.
Other than that, I mean, Blanding, I grew up before cell phones even, right? So we didn't get cell phones till I was probably a sophomore, junior in high school. So a lot of stuff that get you canceled and in trouble in today's world. Lots of Sobe bombs and guns and different things that small town kids do. So all of which would be, yeah, problematic in today.
Okay. So for the safety of you and your family, we won't go too far into some of those things that would get you into trouble. We'll keep you above the legal line here, but you gave us about a 45 second life history there. So I'm going to ask you a couple of more probing questions here. You said you were one of six kids. What number were you? Second, did you say?
I'm the youngest. I'm
the baby. Youngest. Oh my gosh, the spoiled one. Okay.
So spoiled, I can argue with anyone about anything, hold my own in a fight, you name it, wedgie contest, whatever it might be. I can.
Now, what's a wedgie contest?
I don't know either, but if there ever was one, I could deal them out, I'm sure. So as many as I've been dealt, I could definitely give a good wedgie, I'm sure. So,
so how many boys, how many girls?
Four boys, five boys, one girl. So my poor sister.
She
had a lot of brothers around her, but she's got three little girls now. So she's evening out the playing field.
What number was she?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. She's probably the meanest of the group. So she probably had to be, but, the kindest and the meanest all at the same time.
Man, we are 3.5 minutes in and Pratt can already be in so much trouble over the content that he's given us here. So Pratt, I mean, being the youngest of six kids in a small town, were you mom and dad's favorite?
I was mom and dad's easiest. So I learned what not to do from the five ahead of me. So I always got that title that I was the easiest. I have a brother named Landry that we call the golden boy. So he's always been kind of my mom and dad's what we call favorite. But yeah, I'm the easiest. So nice. I give them the least worries. And so that usually ends up being really good for a teenager and a kid. So
awesome. What was your hobbies growing up that you can talk about legally?
Growing up in Blanding, there's tons of fields. So four-wheelers and dirt bikes and bikes. I mean, that was a daily thing after school in the elementary days. And then by the time middle school and high school rolled around, a lot more sports. So play baseball, basketball, and football. And a lot of that stuff. But yeah, outdoors were always a big deal. But yeah, as I got older, sports kind of took over that. And then as you get to where you're at now, you don't worry and care too much about sports and you want to be outdoors as much as possible. So
awesome. Well, you mentioned that you worked for your dad a little bit in the HVAC company as well. You know, one of the things that I like to ask everybody that I do this show with is, was there some kind of formative childhood memory that you felt like played a big part in who you became as an adult? And I'm curious what the answer to that question is for you.
I mean, you know, growing up when your dad owns a company, right? Like Memorial Day weekend, you don't go camping. Your friends go camping. You go work. You're working Friday and Monday when school's out. So that was definitely one thing. But I learned really early on that if I wanted my dad to leave me alone, just to do the job right and work as hard as you could so that he wasn't bothering you or, you know, micromanaging or worrying even if I was going to do the job right. So learned pretty early on, just take the direction, get it done, keep moving, and don't get in the way of anyone else. So
you learn to do it right the first time so you don't have to take the heat later.
I don't know if I ever learned it, but I tried. Yeah, always tried to get it done the first time, but usually takes two times. So
how do you feel like that manifests itself today?
Same concept. Just take the direction, get it done, and try the hardest to do it right your first time and keep everyone going. And yeah, just please the client. Treat them like your dad, I guess, right? Just you don't want
treat them like
you
your dad.
You don't want them breathing down your throat, so do what they're asking and try to get it the best way possible the first time so there's not too many revisions or edits. So
awesome. You're born to be an account manager. Well, Pratt, tell me a little bit about the journey that led you here. I mean, like I said, you and I have known each other for several years in different capacities in Utah tourism, and so fun to have you now in our organization, but let's talk about the journey that got you here.
Yeah, so finished my undergraduate from SUU and jumped directly into Brian Head Ski Resort. And that was you did a lot there, right? Small company, handled a lot of different things, but I was a digital marketing manager there. So anything digital I handled, website, social media, graphic design, photography, even videography, pretty much anything that came down to marketing outside of radio ads, I handled.
Remind me what years you were at Brian Head.
That would have been 2013 through 2015 or 2014 through 2016, somewhere in there. I graduated in 2013. And then, so it would have been the tail end of 2013 through probably the very end of 2015.
Yeah, so funny because I feel like we brought Brian Head on as a client pretty close to right when you were wrapping up there at Brian Head and worked with them for a couple of years after that.
Yeah. Yep. I'm sure after I left, they probably had a hard time filling the position for a while, and that would make sense. So
interesting. Okay. So you were at Brian Head for a while, then what?
Then I ended up in Blanding, where I promised myself I would never live. When I married my wife, I told her two things. I would not hunt because I wasn't a hunter, and we would never live in Blanding. So,
Do you hunt?
As soon as I got back to Blanding, my friends wanted me to hunt. So I still don't hunt. Got to keep one of the two promises. But I came back to work for a company called Guardian Flight. It was formerly Eagle AirMed, and then it's up there right off the 106 exit in South Jordan. There's a big Guardian Flight building some people are familiar with. But they handle, they're an air ambulance company, so they handle quite a bit of this Four Corners area. I was pretty much in New Mexico and Arizona most days, but stationed out of Blanding. But yeah, similar thing to this job. Someone that knew me called me, and we had a couple conversations, and it worked out, and we moved home and started doing that. And that was just a public relations job, going around to hospitals, making sure that the flight crew, the pilots, everyone were behaving properly, that the patients were being transported professionally, things of that nature. So a couple events here and there. But overall, really interesting job, but not a ton of growth. You would have been, if I had stayed there, you would have been there where I was in 2016 still today. So
yeah. Okay. All right. So you moved on from Guardian Flight then. And is that when you ended up at the city of Blanding?
Yep. Yep, that's, and that's where we kind of got connected. So Relic was handling Blanding City's marketing, and then they hired me. So
I, yeah, thanks a lot.
I was why you had to leave, I guess, for the time being. But yeah, so they didn't really have any real tourism branding. So I created the brand Visit Blanding, that webpage, that whole marketing strategy. And yeah, it was really interesting. I really, really liked that side of things. The other part of the job was economic development and just handling city matters. And I wasn't too sold on that part of the job, but the tourism kept me in it, and it was really fun to manage those things and market the place you know grew up and all the amazing area there is to see down here. So overall, really good time, really enjoyed it.
Awesome. And you were there for how long?
Just under 5 years. So
okay, and so you were there 5 years, and then obviously I reached out to you and was asking you some questions about where you were headed and if you would be interesting in partnering with us and working with us. So I'm curious, you know, from the other side of the table, what was that process like and what ultimately made you decide to jump on board?
I realized pretty, literally within the last 2 months before we talked, I had realized that I didn't love anything I did. So I liked managing the website and tourism, but that was 15% of my job, maybe 5 hours a week. And I realized I didn't want to keep planning events. I didn't like running social media. I didn't I didn't hate any of it, but I didn't love it either, right? I wasn't passionate about it. And I wanted something more along those lines of wanting to come in and wanting to be better and being able to visually see, you know, myself growing and my product or whatever it might be. So I felt like Relic offered that. You know, when we talked, it was the main goal was we don't want the clients to be able to live without you. And so that's the main goal still, right? Is I want everyone to feel like they couldn't live without us and without me as their account manager. So still trying to get there. But yeah, that's kind awesome. Of the goal. I like that. I like that I have a place in an objective that I can see and build on. So
great. As you've dived in, and we were just talking before you jumped on board, that I think we're in week either 8 or 9 here, and you've worked on a lot of projects in a short period of time. So I'm curious what some of your favorite projects have been that you've been able to touch and work on.
The team just got done a summer campaign for Ruby's Inn. So the team did a really good job there. Lance had a budget. He wanted to get something done by this week. So it's the centennial celebration at Ruby's Inn. He kind of wanted a guerrilla campaign to make sure that as everyone's down there this weekend and as they go home for the next month of June, the entire I-15 corridor is getting hit by Ruby's Inn ads and different things there. So they pulled together and we got that done in about 14 days. Really impressive there. The rebrand with Ripe. I've kind of got thrown into the middle of that. So their website should be finished, knock on wood, this week, and we'll get that rolled out. And that's been really fun to see the rebrand. It looks really good. The website design's really pretty. I think that's going to lead to a lot of business when people see the product that we're producing there. So
awesome. Anything else?
Where else do you go? There's lots of things. Dana Point's in the middle of a rebrand, and they'll be doing a website as well. So that stuff, I like kind of these one-off things where it's like it's going to be kind of intense for a few months, but then you know at the end it's going to lead to a tactical guide and just more thought-out marketing strategy. But I like that kind of push through, get the client on board. And with the brand strategy, it really allows you to start fresh with the client, right? Because you're building the strategy with them. And so where I'm new, that strategy is as new as I am. So I'm not trying to figure out what worked well or what might be good. It's kind of starting out fresh together. So I like that.
What's been the biggest challenge in switching from working for a municipality to working for a private organization that's pretty fast paced?
Pace. Yeah. Yeah. Pace for sure. Teamwork. Teamwork took 3 to 4 weeks to figure out as well. But the pace, I really like it. When people ask how the job is, I'm like, you go 9 to 5, you go. Me and Adam were talking about that before. I used to listen to tons of different YouTube podcasts, and I'd have one screen with different things playing in one screen with work, but that, I can't do that here. It's too fast. I can't coordinate. I'm not that coordinated to handle all that at once. But overall, it's been pretty good. Government, it's just a whole other beast. You just have to answer to so many people and so many mundane, lame things that you just have to do. And that comes with a job. So I like being in the private sector again. It's been good.
Cool. Well, one thing that I've been forgetting to ask people that I wanted to make sure I asked you, you know, you mentioned your wife. I know you have kids. What does your family look like as far as how old are your kids and that type of thing?
Yeah. So my wife's name's Darcy with an I. She is my best friend. So standard fun dating story. Like I got friend zoned for a year and just wouldn't give up. We hung out all the time anyways.
Stalked your way to the finish line.
Yep, I organically made her fall in love with me. So that worked out really good. And then I've got twins, Layton and Luke. They're 5 and a half, boy and a girl. Maybe one and done. I don't know. We'll see. But they're fun. They're at the perfect age. They're excited about anything. If it's a bug on the ground or a candy bar, like they're just thrilled to death. They just love life and they're really fun. So we do
they get along?
Yep, they get along. They're carbon copies of me and Darcy. So my little girl, easygoing, funny, with a temper. So she's my kid. And Luke, my little boy, is a carbon copy of his mom. He's nervous. He doesn't like people. He trips over himself all the time. You know, like it's crazy. Like they're twins, but they're more our twins than they are twins of themselves. So.
And that's funny. You each got a mini me of the opposite sex. That's kind of, yeah. Kind of funny.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely parenting the younger version of your spouse. It's definitely it's led to some arguments for sure, but it's been good. So, and they love traveling too. Like they're awesome. My wife loves traveling, so we can load them up, take them wherever, camping, Florida, California, whatever. We've done it all. They're down to go. So.
Very cool. And so are you aware that I'm a twin, Pratt?
I am not, no.
Oh, yeah. So I'm a twin, an identical twin. And I just remember my mom always used to look at me and she would say, I hope your kids turn out just like you.
So did you get that? Do you have a kid that's just like you?
You know what? I've got three beautiful girls that look exactly like their mom, but act just like me for the most part. So yeah, there's a lot of disagreement, I would say, in our house, just like there was when I was growing up. The girls have a hard time figuring out how to get along.
Yeah, we don't have, I'm sure that'll get that way as they get older for sure. But yeah, the twins, they get along, they play good. So
that's great. Well, Pratt, let's talk about the future. I mean, let's fast forward 20 years. You look back on your career. How do you define success for you?
Oh, retired at 65. Like there, if I'm working by need at 65, I have failed. So
that's the goal.
Who knows with inflation and everything, maybe I'll have to no matter what. But I just want to be done. I would love to be able to just travel and do whatever I want at 65, golf, be able to, you know, jump on a side by side and go out and enjoy the hills, whatever I want, but I don't want to have to work. So
you want it to be your choice. Work, yep, if you want to.
Yep. Yeah. Preferably 60, but I mean, come on. Who are we kidding? That's
yeah. Very cool. Well, Pratt, I guess to wrap this up, and it's been fun to chat with you, I'm curious, you know, different people that are going to be working with you are going to be hearing this, whether it's coworkers or even clients or potential clients or whatever. What's something that people that are going to work with you, what do they need to know about you in preparation for working with you?
Oh, that's a good question. In terms of just personal things, like I'm happy to hear whatever you're interested in. So if you're interested in tile, I'll listen to you talk about tile. Like I love learning what people think is interesting. So if you're like, hi, you have something that's kind of weird and you need someone to talk to about it, I'm that guy.
Nice.
I really enjoy learning what other people find interesting. I don't know. I think that's really fun to learn what other people care about. As for just like the professional side of things, any extra communication or clarity, I love that. I love knowing background and, you know, backstories and information about things that we're working on. But
you want context.
Yep. Yeah. Give me the context. Give me whatever it is that you think I may need. I don't care if you've got to explain it in depth, whatever. Don't hesitate to give me all the info up front and tell me if I'm wrong or like, once I hear it, once I've had it once in my life, you know, I usually am good to go. So Colby will listen to this and say, no, he still messes up on teamwork. But, for the most part, you know, if you're like, hey, I don't like this, or I don't like that, or I need you to do something different, I usually pretty good at just listening and taking that and applying it. So
great. Well, Pratt, it's been fun to chat with you. It's good to have you on board. Thanks for taking a few minutes to let us get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, no problem. If you want to hear any illegal stories, let me know.
We'll talk offline.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Pratt.
Thank you.
This is one of the many stories of the people of Relic and EKR. I hope you'll stick with us and listen to the other stories that we release on a weekly basis and get to know our whole team. We've got some amazing people here, and we hope you enjoy it.